This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Some fun
on a Friday. It is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and it's going to be so much fun today. As you can imagine, there are many questions about America, FBI, Civil War, moving houses. There are questions about pizza. There are questions about guns. We are all over the map. I know about the Salman Rushdie thing. Give me just a few minutes and I will address that. In case you're not aware, Salman Rushdie today, New York City, giving a speech presentation of some kind, stabbed a lot, including in the neck. I'll give you an update on what I know and my thoughts on that here about 10 minutes from now. But man, do we have so much to do today on the Jesse Kelly Show. It's going to be so much fun. But I want to begin here because we have an update, right? You remember what I said yesterday about why I can actually see something really genuinely good coming out of this Trump raid? I mean, as good as something like that could be. And you remember what I said, right? I said, there's a reason they all came out afterwards, immediately in the wake of the raid. They all came out and acted like they didn't know about it.
Can you tell us anything more? Was he watching the news? Was he scrolling Twitter? Did someone in his staff flag it for him?
I can tell you this. He was not aware of the Mar-a-Lago raid? I don't know what you guys are calling it, before it happened.
Okay. White House couldn't run away from it fast enough. New York Senator Chuck Schumer, I don't think I have to explain to you, is a heavy hitter in politics, top man in the United States Senate. There's no question Chuck knew about it, but he says he didn't.
The FBI has searched the home of the former president.
Yeah, well, I know nothing about it other than what I've read, like everybody else. So I think it's wise for me to withhold comment until we learn more.
Oh, yeah. Chuck's just a regular guy, just like you and me. Just a, hey, man, you want to go down? Let's get some hot dogs. He's just a regular dude. Had no idea. Sure. Okay, well, those are obviously lies. And then fast forward to yesterday, as we played for you, after they lied, they initially came out and said, I had no idea. I didn't know. I had no idea. And they saw how outraged the public was. All of a sudden, Merrick Garland, almost out of nowhere. Remember, that press conference from Merrick Garland was out of nowhere yesterday. Merrick Garland holds a press conference almost like he's fallen on the sword. Hey, it was me, guys.
There are, however, certain points I want you to know. First, I personally approved the decision to seek a search warrant in this matter.
Okay. And what did I tell you last night? What's all this tell you? It tells you this thing was way more unpopular than they thought it was going to be. And I mean way more unpopular than they thought it was going to be. And now they're actually in a panic. It's blowing up in their face and they're in a panic. And you remember last night. You remember last night I told you I was talking to neighbors because, again, I don't live in high-powered political circles. I don't live in New York, right? I live in Texas. And I was talking with non-political people. What do you think about this? What do you think about this? I do this a lot. I press them. I want to know, how do people outside of, you know, the rings of power, what do they think? And to a man, Trump supporter, not Trump supporter, a few of them were Trump haters but still kind of lean Republican. To a man, they said, this is scary, this is really bad, what are they doing? It just did not land. I then looked today, and we have numbers. I believe these numbers are from Trafalgar. They're from the Trafalgar Group. Independence. This was the question that was posed to Independence. Do you believe the FBI raid on President Trump's home was a reasonable step to pursue justice? Almost 60% of independents said no. This was a political mistake catastrophic political mistake for the communists. Which brings me to today. It brings me to the latest and greatest. They're sitting around, all of them. Biden, his people, Schumer, his people, Pelosi, her people, all the Democrats who run the FBI, DOJ, they're all sitting around and they're in full-blown panic mode. They have done something publicly you can't take back. You can't take it back. You can't put the genie back in the lamp. So what do you do? Well, they're going to do the thing communists always do, the thing communists specialize in. They're going to lie. But what lie do you tell? You can't disguise the fact the raid happened. There are pictures. We have all the document. We know the right. How can you possibly lie about that? What they're now doing is they're fishing for a reason you will buy that will give them the justification they want. How do I know? Because all this stuff has been breaking live all week while we've been doing the show here live, 6 to 9 Eastern every single night. It's breaking as the show goes on, and I've been tracking what all the justifications were. First, I heard it was related to January 6th. Then it was a subpoena he didn't follow up on. Then I heard it had nothing to do with January 6th. It had to do with him taking some classified things out of the White House. And again, all these things sound so benign to everybody, including independents, they're not good enough. It kept getting more unpopular and more unpopular and more unpopular as they rolled this out, which is why I know the latest and greatest I'm about to give to you is an absolute, flat-out, bold-faced lie. What is it? I saw this headline. I honestly almost fell over laughing. What is it? FBI reportedly sought nuclear documents during the Mar-a-Lago search. And this, of course, ran in the Democrat mouthpiece. The New York Times ran with it. Other Democrat mouthpieces like the Huffington Post ran with it. What happened? The powers that be, the Bidens and all of them, they panicked. They got together. They decided we really have to change the message on this. What's something that'll maybe scare people bad enough into them excusing us for doing what we did? Nuclear weapons. It's nuclear weapons, guys. And what they do? They sent their lackeys out to their various media minions like the New York Times, who's just the most wretched publication in the United States of America. They sent their lackeys out to their media people and said, hey, I don't know if you've heard, but a little birdie told me it was the nuclear codes. Trump had the nuclear codes. By the way, just heads up so you understand a little bit of how this works. Even if Donald Trump had the nuclear codes, you know those are changed every day, right? Donald Trump hasn't been president for almost 2 years. His nuclear codes are staler than those chips you left open on the counter for 3 straight days. But they didn't look for the nuclear codes. Oh, they may falsify some documents afterwards now to act like that. They were searching for nuclear secrets. You know why they told you that? They told you that because they're in a panic. Put a smile on your face. They really screwed up here, and they're in a panic. All right, I have a lot more on that, and look, we have to look. I have really hopeful news, but we have to address something. Obviously, it's all over the news, very, very, very ugly. So let's get this out of the way, and then we'll get to some Ask Dr. Jesse questions. Salman Rushdie, I understand. This may be old, the news may be old enough people don't know who this is. I was actually surprised some people didn't know who Salman Rushdie was. He's an author. He wrote the Satanic Verses. It was interpreted as being horrifically blasphemous by certain sects of the Islam community. And this is decades, right? He has been under threat of death ever since then. They declared jihad basically against a fatwa. They put a fatwa on him for 30 years. They have been wanting to kill this guy. They have been, frankly, trying to kill this guy. I hadn't thought about him in a long time. I remember when I was a kid, when the Satanic Verses were more in the news, and it was big news when I was a kid that Salman Rushdie was... He'd written this book, and now the Muslims were after him, and it was just kind of just something I vaguely remember as a child. Well, It looks, look, I'll tell you this. He was obviously attacked today. He was stabbed several times. I keep hearing 10 to 15, so on and so forth. It doesn't matter. He was attacked today. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on death radio. You know, I don't like doing that. He's attacked on a stage in New York. So I figured you'd want to know, and I figured you'd care. Let's just say a prayer for him and his family. I couldn't imagine what it would be like to have so many people trying actively to kill me for 3 decades. And then finally getting to his age and going down like that. So look, it's awful. Say a prayer for his family. We're gonna leave it at that. Okay? We're gonna leave it at that. Now, I need to do something really, really quickly and very, very subtly, right? You know how I've been telling you about the summer sheets from MyPillow? The breathable ones? The Percal sheets. They're Percal sheets. They're MyPillow's Percal sheets. And I've told you over and over again, very emphatically, that there is a limited time on this sale because supplies are limited. And I told you, queen size sets normally $89.98, and right now it's $39.98. Okay, so I've told you all that. You know all that. I need you to hear me something, and I need you to hear it really well, okay? Read between the lines for me. If you want a couple sets of Percal sheets from MyPillow, and you want the screaming deal on them, you really need to go buy them today. Today. Did I say go buy them Monday? Did I say sit and think about it for a day? Look, maybe you don't want them. That's fine. But please read between the lines. The time is now. Go to MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse. Get your sets of Percal sheets today. Today. MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse. It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and I know it has been quite a week. Either they're adding 87,000 IRS agents to come for you, or they're raiding Donald Trump's home. It's been a lot to swallow, but we're going to get to some Ask Dr. Jesse questions now. And obviously, I know there's a ton of FBI talk and America talk and whatnot in there, but it's Friday. I spend 3 hours answering your questions. Just remember, they overstepped their bounds with this. Put a smile on your face. How do I know they overstepped their bounds? Headline, Lee Zeldin in striking distance of Kathy Hochul. Why? There's a reason given. This is New York Post. Voters are tired of Chuck Schumer. These people have overstepped their bounds so badly. There is hope. All right? Yeah. No, the country's probably screwed, but there's still hope. There's still a lot of hope and a lot of great things to save and preserve and be happy about. And we are not going to be Debbie Downers going into the weekend. So let's get to some questions. Jesse, my husband's active duty Army. He owes 4 more years before he can retire and go to graduate school. She says, help, we're stuck in New York. We have 2 more years before we can PCS to a new location. I've been feeling the urge to move and get to a red state for a while now. I'm worried if we wait 2 more years for the Army to move us, it will be too late. What advice do you have for us? P.S. The best thing about being stationed in New York is that I discovered you on the radio on 710 WOR while driving my daughter to ballet in the evenings. Thanks for the honesty and the laughs. Says I can use her name. Her name is Joni. Joni, thank you to you. Thank you to 710 WOR for bringing me to Joni. Joni, listen, there ain't nothing you can do when you're in the Army. There's nothing you can do but what you're told. Look, I've been very honest with you about how ugly I think it's going in this country and where I think we're going and how I do think we're coming apart. And I don't think we can get the band back together again. I've been very honest about it with our federal system. However, are we going to be gone in 2 years? Is the United States of America going to be a smoldering wasteland in 2 years? You have to escape from New York now because South Carolina won't even be there. No. You're stuck there anyway. Grin and bear it. I'm guessing you're in a part of New York you don't like. Upstate New York's actually beautiful. Everyone thinks all of New York looks like New York City. Now, I think New York City's beautiful, but I have a different view on things. Quit shaking your head, Chris. You know what we need to do? We need to go to New York. You're always complaining that you can't get kosher food down here. New York has Jewish delis. Like every 50 feet, there's a Jewish deli with I mean, Chris, all the best breakfast bagels in the world. What? Chris, I'll pay for it, okay? I will pay for the trip. Oh, gosh. We have to go to, you're a Jew. You have to go to New York City, Chris, and experience all the Jewishness of New York City. I'm serious, man. Those Jewish delis, they're phenomenal. And they have a bunch of food that you like that I don't like, that you would love all the Jewish sandwiches up there. You would geek out on history. 710-WOR would host us. I bet we'd do a big party up there. We've got to go. That's it. I'm taking you to New York. And contrary to popular belief, despite all the headlines right now, which are they're not good. I do think we'll get out of there without getting stabbed or shot. I give our chances at least 50%. At least 50%. I think we're solid, Chris. Dear future Casper CEO and president, I just listened to last night's podcast, heard you railing on the media for not reporting the demographics of Jewish attackers in New York City. You claim the media's failure to honestly report this will cause chaos. But isn't that the desired outcome of the communist mouthpieces? The destruction is intentional. I once heard a very wise and handsome man, what, Chris, say that? Says I can use his name. His name is Mark. Look, I've expressed frustration with this, and I always will, and I need to clarify. Well, I don't need to clarify, but I'm going to clarify. I grew up, you know, in Ohio. I was in Ohio until I was 10, then Montana. When I went to Montana, Montana was virtually all white. I can honestly think of two, if we're going to use the word minorities, in our entire town. One was the Asian kid who won the spelling bee. I'm not making that up. The other was a black kid adopted by the football coach, and he played running back on the football team. Also, I'm not making that up. But beyond those two, it was all white. There weren't even Latinos. It was just white at the time. Now, it's different now, but the construction industry changed all that. But that's the way it was. So that's how I grew up. It was very, very white. But I also grew up, remember, very, very offensive. My father is just very, very offensive human being. He's not going to hold back for your feelings. I know you're shocked that I have a dad like that, but he's just not. He doesn't care about your feelings. So when I got to the Marines, I don't want to say it was a culture shock because I wasn't shocked, but I got there and there are black people everywhere, Asians everywhere, Latinos. There are Cubans, Puerto Ricans, Mexicans. There were just people of everywhere. And because I didn't grow up with cultural tensions, I actually walked into there and I didn't care about anyone's skin color or religion or anything like that. I know it's kind of weird, but growing up in a place that was so white kind of gave me, in my opinion, a very healthy perspective on race. I didn't walk in with any stereotypes or things like that. I just walked in and I was naturally an offensive person, so I fit in right there. But in the Marines, you're always stuck together in misery. And that's part of it. You know, that's part of the job. It's part of what makes you a Marine. You're stuck together. You're in the mud. You're in the cold. You're in the heat. And you're stuck together. And this is pre-cell phone era, too. I don't know if they're allowed to have those now. So you're sitting around doing things, and you have no option but to talk to each other. And the way we handled all that was we talked about everything, oftentimes in the most offensive ways humanly possible. It's Marines. It was degrading jokes, sometimes racist jokes. You know, you're making fun of every part of the guy, from his skin color to his religion to his mother to his sister. And that was how it worked. It was just fellas just ribbing on each other. But we loved each other, and we worked through all the tension because we talked about everything. That was a long way of me saying, I believe you work through cultural tensions by openly talking about them, which is why what happens now with this cover-up, with the black protection racket media, I think it hurts everyone. It hurts black people. It hurts Jews. It hurts everyone when we don't have open discussions. Everyone's worried about offending somebody now. Everybody. I'm not, which is probably why every single time I take a day off or take a vacation, I come back and we're always full of emails from people who think I got kicked off the air. It's the most flattering thing in the world. Jesse, I was so worried they kicked you off. Don't worry, they're not going to kick me off. All right, the show's killing and I'm not going anywhere. All right, that's enough of that. The middle class. Are they attacking the middle class? If so, why? I'll explain. Deep in my heart, feel like grind. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can email me during the show. That's fine. We're live, baby. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Chris, I almost just said they can email, and then I almost gave out the phone number. Chris, did we find out if the suits ever fixed this phone number on the website? That's so embarrassing. What? It's like the sixth time you've asked. You know what, Chris? I'm going to step in and I'll ask because, listen, when you're a huge, important celebrity like I am, you can move mountains, Chris. You can move mountains. What I'll do is I'll hop on my yacht and I'll take it over. All right, quit. Focus. It's Friday. We got to talk about the issues. Jesse, do you think people are overlooking the true goal of the left, eliminating the middle class? After all, isn't the historical result of a classless society just the rich and poor? Yes, but remember this, and this is something you are always going to have to deal with, and it's something I'm always going to have to deal with. Your friends, family members, neighbors, they're always going to be a million miles behind you in understanding what's going on and what we're facing. Especially when you live in a system like we live in where it's all lies. Everything on the news is a lie. Everything the FBI says is a lie. It's all lies. You can't trust anything. So what does that mean? That means you have to be like you. You have to be like me. And you have to wake up and you have to start digging in and sifting through things to try to figure out the truth about things. You have to look, you have to tune into people. Look, you tune into people you trust. It's part of the reason you tune into this show, to figure out what's real, what's not real, what's this opinion on things. Your neighbor doesn't do that. So he'll always be so far behind you in understanding just how insidious the left is and what the actual problem is. Understand this. There are a couple different reasons why communists in America attack the middle class. First, that's kind of what communists have always done historically. Remember when Stalin took over and then, you know, they took over Ukraine. Stalin very quickly started going after what were called the kulaks with a K, K-U-L-A-K, kulaks. Who were the kulaks? Well, they weren't the really, really poor people. They weren't the really, really rich people. They were the middle class people. Oh, yeah, no, I've got a farm. I've got, you know, one or two employees, but they were considered middle class people. Stalin scapegoated them, acted like they were greedy hoarders of all the grain, and promptly had pretty much all of them murdered or shipped off to gulags. So the middle class have always been traditional enemies of the communist anyway. But there's another part of it here you also need to understand. It's also very communistic. Remember, the Soviet Union, when Stalin, we're going to look, sorry, hey, we're doing some history. When Stalin took over and Lenin took over, well, this is Lenin first. When Lenin took over the Soviet Union, remember, communism was never supposed to be for Russia. Ever. What did Marx say? Workers of the who unite? Was it workers of Russia? He was German. Was it workers of Germany? Was it workers of New York? Was it workers of Africa? It was workers of the world. Communism was never supposed to be for the Russian nation. It was supposed to be for everyone. It had to be universal. This is still how they look at it today. This is why globalists and communists are the same thing. Remember that. Klaus Schwab, WEF, United Nations, all those things, they're all communists. And people say, no, they're globalists. What are you talking about? It's the same thing. Communism's just this global theory that a few elites should rule over all of us and the rest of us should starve to death. That's what the WEF, but anyway, set that aside. Part of that expansion for communism that the Soviets wanted was they wanted Poland. They tried to take Poland. Remember, they fought a little mini war, and Poland won. They fought the Soviets off, and the Soviets had to go back. Now, there's a lot of back and forth here that I'm skipping over and skipping through, but from that point forward, the Poles, they were kind of looked at as the traditional enemy of the Soviet communists. Now, what's all any of this have to do with America's middle class? Stalin routinely did purges of his nation. Purges. He would have, you know, the picture states, because the Soviet Union is divided up like everywhere else is divided up, and he would put people in this state or that state, and he would tell them, hey, I need 20,000 dead people this month, so go find 20,000 people and have them murdered, please. That's true, by the way. He would give them quotas. Hey, hey, you're behind on your murders. Guys, I need more murders. And then the people who would put in charge of the murders in the individual regions, they would try to be overachievers, right? It's like Chris showing up 15 minutes late or 15 minutes early for work. They'd kill more people than Stalin wanted to say, hey, look, boss, you asked for 20,000. I killed 30,000. How'd I do? And then Stalin would promptly have them killed because the public got mad about the murders and he blamed it on them being out of control, and on and on and on the cycle went. Remember, it's a very vicious cycle with communism. All the people who were in charge of all these killings, they all died in the end. They were all killed by the communists. But any of that aside, back to the Poles. Stalin, he used Polish people of Polish descent, as a scapegoat for everything that went wrong in Russia, and he viewed any Polish heritage as being an indication that you were very likely some kind of saboteur, you were some kind of subversive, and he was always seeking out Poles or kind of Poles or one-fourth Poles to have them murdered within the Soviet Union because he identified them as being his most likely political enemies. Why do Democrats in America, why do they constantly attack the middle class now? Constantly. They're quite obviously the party of the uber rich, and they try to act like they're the party of the uber poor, even though they make everything worse in the poor neighborhoods. But they're really, honestly, they're quite open about their attacks on the middle class. They can lie about those 87,000 IRS agents all they want. We all know who they're coming after. There's less than, what is it? I think less than 3,000, maybe less than 2,000 billionaires around here. They're coming after you. They're coming after me. Why? Remember, it's not because of the money. These people don't care about money. They're spending us into bankruptcy as fast as they possibly can. They're not after your money, middle class listener. They're after you. This is a way they can seek you out and punish you, punish their political opponents. The stories of the IRS punishing people who get crossways with the government, they're long. There are lots of them. They've identified middle-class Americans as being the most likely Americans to vote Republican, and the numbers bear that out. Democrats read those numbers too. Why do you think Democrats are so anti-white men? When's the last time you heard one Democrat in the United States of America make any kind of an appeal to working-class white people? You haven't heard it in years. Why? It's just poll numbers. It's not that they're racist. They read the polls and they see, okay, oh my gosh, working class white people hate us. Okay, well, those are our enemies. So they treat their enemies like their enemies. It's actually what the communists do very, very well. They treat their enemies like their enemies. The right doesn't. We treat all of our political enemies like he's just about to be my friend, and he's never about to be your friend. All right, another email. Jesse, thank you for your historical perspective and inspiration in a world lacking passion and conviction. I'm a 62-year-old. I've been contributing significantly to talks about testosterone levels. After contemplating the context, I'm convinced your audience and the rest of the country would benefit tremendously from this masculine mindset combined with increased testosterone health. It is my hope that this generation is reintroduced to this valuable worldview. Thank you for your courage. Sincerely, he didn't say I could use his name. I don't have it. Look, listen, it doesn't take courage to sit here and talk about things I believe and things I would die for. That's not courage, man. I believe this stuff all the way. And yes, we need a lot more strong men in this country. I talk about a lot that testosterone levels are half of what they were 50 years ago is a staggering thing. It's just as important as all those political issues we talk about. Look, I tell you about Chalk, it's not just because I love them, not just because they're hardcore anti-communists. 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days with natural supplements? Fellas, go get a male vitality stack from Chalk. I take one. I've been on it for months and months and months. You can't imagine the difference in how you sleep, how you focus. male vitality stack from Chalk. Ladies, female vitality stack. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse gets you 35% off. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can catch the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. We have TVs in this studio. Not to brag, but we have some TVs. They're pretty advanced around here. Michael has this TV on some kind of nature channel, and these wildebeests are trying to cross this river, and the crocodiles are eating them, and gosh, that's so freaking sweet. What, Chris? I can talk about this stuff. It's cool. What? Crocodiles are sweet. Crocodiles are terrifying animals, man. Really terrifying. Remember that time I told the audience how to survive a saltwater crocodile attack? Don't shake your head. Attack the crocodile. Don't run away. Attack. Dive into his mouth. It's the last thing he's expecting. Choke him out from the inside. I think that would work. I really do think that would work. They screwed up with this Trump raid big time. And I get, since I've been saying that, I've had a lot of emails the past couple of days of, Jesse, how could they screw up that big? Jesse, I agree with you, but how could they screw up that big? Remember, I talked a little bit earlier, 60% of independents say that's not even close to reasonable what they did. That's a huge screw up going into the midterm elections. How could they screw that up? Remember this. We are all a product of our environment somewhat. It's unavoidable. It is unavoidable. We are all a product of our environment. We all have blinders on. I brag to you a lot about living in a more or outside of political bubbles and power bubbles. And I talk about that because I think it gives me added perspective on how normal people view things. But even I have a bubble, right? Because I've created my own bubble. I live in a neighborhood I want to live in. I hang around people I want to hang out with, just like you do. I work with two people. I work with Chris and Michael, if you don't count the suits, which let's be honest, let's not count the suits. I work with Chris and Michael. I hired both of them. I'm surrounded by people I chose to surround myself with. That's good, right? It's a better life. That's the kind of life you want. But it forces you into a bubble of your own making. How in the world could these people be so blinded and think that this was a good idea? How could they be so blinded? Listen, they live, work, and worship in an area they have created for themselves. Picture this. I want you to picture this. I want you to picture your college student, fresh out of communication school. You went to NYU, right? Good school, NYU. And you got out of there. It cost a fortune to go to NYU. So mommy and daddy were probably pretty rich. You majored in communication. You graduated. Dad has a hookup because dad is a rich guy of some kind. Knows a guy who knows a guy. Right out of college. Dream job. You're an associate producer on Rachel Maddow's show on MSNBC. So you've just walked out of NYU college campus. You don't even have to leave New York City. You get yourself a fancy apartment that you can't afford, so dad pays for it. You're paying about $6,000 a month for your apartment. Dad's paying for it. So now you're not even around working-class poor people. You just left a communist college campus. You're in a fancy apartment. Where do you go to work? You go to work at MSNBC. You can't even darken the doors at MSNBC unless you're a full-blown communist. You're also an associate producer. All of your bosses are full-blown communists. The host is a full-blown communist. You are in a bubble so thick, there's no chance you understand what that guy right across town from you. He's got a lunch pail beside him. He's driving his truck down to the plant to work a night shift. He works 7 to 7. I've worked 7 to 7 shifts before. He's working a 7 to 7 night shift. He's got a lunch pail beside him where he'll eat his, quote, lunch at midnight. He grew up working class, makes a decent living, gets time and a half, pays the bills for his family, has to stress about these gas prices, though, might actually have to trade in the pickup and get something smaller and more affordable. Otherwise, his kid might not be able to attend the football camp he's trying to pay for this summer. You have no idea what that guy goes through. You have no idea of the stresses that guy has. You have never been in that person's shoes. You've never even been, frankly, close to that person's shoes. So you are so deep in a bubble, you have no idea how it looks to have an already unpopular president's Justice Department send 30 federal agents into the home of the guy he just beat in an election, and you didn't even have a good explanation for it. Frankly, it's more than 2 days later now, and your explanation keeps changing, and now everyone just thinks you're lying on top of everyone else. How could they be so stupid? It's the bubble, man. The bubble makes us all dumb. I just described... Oh, by the way, that associate producer? They'll work their way up. She'll eventually become a full-blown producer one day. And then, hey, she believes in the cause, right? She's going to go work as press secretary for Senator Schumer. She'll be out of Senator Schumer's New York office, one of his press secretaries. Then when she gets tired of that because it doesn't pay as much, she'll go right back to MSNBC, make another $250,000-$300,000 a year. Before you know it, you're a 50-year-old woman, and you don't have any idea about the real world. None. You are wrapped in a bubble. You've lived your entire life in a bubble, and you just don't know how wildly out of touch and insane you look to normal human beings. All right. Some bear got high on honey. We're going to have to address that. Look, we have a lot of... There's a humongous stack of Ask Dr. Jesse questions, and I think I've gotten to like three or four in the first hour. So I need to... I'm going to be better. I promise I'm going to be... I am, Chris. I'm going to be better. Before I get better, do me a quick favor. I find this helps. It makes me feel better. I know you look around right now and... you get nervous. I get nervous. Talked to my sister last night. She told me on the phone, she's like, you don't sound good. And I said, you know, I'll be honest. I'm a little down. I mean, I'll be fine, but I'm a little down about how the country's going right now. It makes me feel better to make preparations. It always has. Do you have a 4-week emergency food supply from My Patriot Supply yet? They have a 4-week food kit ready to go for you. It's $50 off if you go to preparewithjessekelly.com. And it doesn't matter how much my wife makes fun of me because there's four of us in the house. I have four of them. As I've told you, everyone in your home needs a 4-week kit. If there's just one of you, just get one. That's fine. There's four, get four of them. You get $50 off each one of them when you go to preparewithjessekelly.com. And I know this is the lamest, most embarrassing thing in the world, but I'll be honest with you. Sometimes when everything gets crazy, I'll go look at it and it makes me feel a little better, like a security blanket. I do the same thing, honestly, with my ammunition. Sometimes I'll go and I'll look and I've got all these loaded magazines and things like that and it makes me feel better. I know that makes me sound like a doomsday prepper freak. And if it does, it does. But it makes me feel better. It makes me feel better that if I wake up tomorrow morning and things continue to go as bad as they're going and I drive down to the grocery store in my area and it's not open anymore, my family will be fine for a month. I have a month to get my family someplace safe. It makes me feel good. Preparewithjessekelly.com. All right. Someone has a very excellent question. Why do communists not seem to know they're communists here in America? That's the basis of the question. You probably run into this in your life where you call them a communist and they say, well, what are you talking about? Communists? What is this, the Red Scare? It's not the 1950s. I will explain to you why they actually have no idea. Many of them have no idea that's what they are. I'll explain it in just a second. Yeah, we bad.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.